see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to Watching for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. Oh, I got a whole lot to talk about. I'm hoping to make this one a very interesting one. Oh, as opposed to the others is not. Well, tonight I've got a lot I'm going to cover. I'm going to talk slow, I hope. Sometimes I take right on off, but tonight I got some complicated subjects to talk about. I'm going to simplify them. Very helpful tonight, I hope it will be. I plan on it being. But there's going to be some complex subjects I'm going to talk about. Faith. Someone asked me to talk about faith. I'm going to talk a little bit about faith tonight. Steadfast faith. Some on Titus 1, verses 3 to 6. A little bit about demonization. We'll cover some more of it tomorrow night. And Revelation 17. And we'll see how far we get tonight. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And, you know, get your notebooks out if you do take notes. I will be recording this. So if you miss something or whatever, you won't go back to it, it'll be there. So tonight's going to be a little bit complex, but I want to simplify it. It's, I don't know if it's saying that for you or for me, but we'll get through it. But I hope to give you something handy tonight to understand what's really going on around us. I'm not going to talk about Ebola and economic crash and all that sort of thing. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I look at what happens afterwards, which is inevitable to happen. Pestilence, famine, economic crash, all the above at some point in time. I look at that because I know it's coming. And all the other, I could tell you all about Ebola. We could talk about science and biology and cover that about Ebola, where it's been, where it's going, where it's derived from and all that. But, you know, take, you know, the silver stuff and all that. What to set up, what get, go buy yourself a gas mask, all that kind of thing. Family, I don't mean to laugh at it, but look, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's in the Bible eventually. It's going to happen. All that stuff is not going to say. What are you going to do with your money? Buy silver, buy gold. Okay, well, what happens when they close down the ATM? What happens when they say, well, if you sell gold, which is what they're going to do, it's illegal to sell gold, so whoop, there goes your trading off. So you got to trade off canned goods. Live like Abraham Lincoln in the log cabin. It's not going to happen in the Ozarks. People don't, they don't have too much TV, too much Mad Max scenarios going on. I just hang back till, you know, till the real reality hits. There's nobody going to Ozarks and going to, from now on, live in generations after all this of farmers, like go back with the old days. That's what they all think they're going to do. I don't think they understand the Bible very well, what God's going to do. Survival is important and all that. But whatever you have, ammunition, food, water, you're going to run out of it. It's going to happen. I'll look at what happens when it does. Because eventually that's where everybody's going to be. Judgment is coming upon this world. There's no way around it. We just don't know when it's going to start. That's the only point. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray, Father, to guide us tonight in this Bible study. To talk about, Father, the issues that's going to matter the most, that will get us through this end times, Lord, and head us toward heaven. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, down on the cross for our sins. That, Father, we may take him as our Savior and, Father, to give us that courage, that opportunity to guide us in that path, convict us when we fall back. Lord, to keep us strong, cover us in the blood of Jesus. Father, as we study and prepare for those times to come and in the day of the Lord, to give us discernment and wisdom, Lord, to be able to see these signs and the opportunity to spread the word to others like a watchman. Father, we pray for all our brethren we've prayed for in the past, for the healing, for bringing families together, for all those we've named, Lord, that you revisit and you we wait for your promises, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Right now, everybody's buying life insurance, health insurance, taking their gold and putting it in the mattress, or buying gold, or I don't know, whatever. They're buying silver, gold bar things, whatever. I don't know. They're getting the silver stuff that you take. I don't know. It's make sure they get all the vitamins ready, and their gas masks, and their plastic gloves, and picked out an island they're going to go to. Those that are going to go to the Ozarks and form their little communions, whatever, you know, up there, as if nobody knows they're going to be there. Their ammunition train, their SUVs and Alice packs and bug out bags, all that kind of stuff. They got old Joe there that they've had barbecues with, that he really works for the Knights of Malta, or he's a CIA agent they don't know about, that's going to tell everything that's going to happen. That's reality. Every human being on the face of this planet that's ever lived, very simple. Those accepted Jesus will be rewarded. Those who reject Jesus will be judged. Not one human being will be passed over. There is no escape of either reward or punishment. Depends on whether they accepted Jesus or not. That's the bottom line. I hit several sites in my ministry here, and the stuff they come up with about Adam and Eve having, you know, sex with Eve, with sex with Satan, that Noah's, Cain's grandson got aboard the ark, and his grandson who got aboard the ark was the one that brought the DNA for the Nephilim. I mean, they got so many combinations of Adam and Eve and Cain's bloodline getting through the ark and, I don't know, getting a canoe or something. I don't know what. It just goes and goes. The Bible tells you from Genesis to Revelation. And this is part of what I'm going to talk about with Jude. Very important, right before Revelation of John. Very important book, very important. I call it the sealer. What is the basis for steadfast faith? According to T.L. Osborne, do a little study of T.L. Osborne. Aside from scriptural statements made by various evangelists, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen. Sometimes non-theologians quote, faith is the title deed for things you've hoped for, the putting to proof of things unseen, or faith is a title deed to the property you know you possess, even though you've not yet seen it, but you got the title deed. The most helpful, and probably using the word loosely, enlightenment, or the expression of faith in definition, is faith is believing that God will do what you know that He has said in His Word He would do. Faith is actually believing that God didn't tell a lie. And yet they still try to reinvent the Bible. Just arbitrarily. I really don't think the Bible said that. I think the Bible really means this. And, you know, probably Eve really did. They use the word probably, might have, allegedly. They love sticking those words in there because why? They don't know. And they don't believe the Bible is the truth. Where's the faith? Thomas was stubborn. Thomas was one of the stubbornest of the disciples. Man, he didn't believe nothing. It's okay. Anyway, Thomas was stubborn, man. Hard-headed Thomas. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I don't believe unless I see it. Well, the second meeting with the disciples, Jesus just walked on in there. Says, Thomas, put hither the hand in the side. Put your hands in the holes of my hand and my feet. Oh, boy, that got Thomas's attention. Hey, he dropped to his knees, man. He said, my Lord, my God. There's a testimony that Jesus is God. But something very interesting Jesus says to him. Thomas, you've seen and you believe. Because you've seen, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know, the most powerful and striking fact is this, that God has never asked that we manifest faith for something He's not first promised to do for us. As one theologian said, quote, God deals with His children, plus first, He gives us a promise. He gives us prophecy. First, He tells us what's going to happen. And don't you know He requires the Illuminati, Satan, to tell us what they're going to do before they do it? I mean, God does it through the prophets. He tells us exactly what's going to happen. Don't you think He would not require anything less from Satan that you will tell them what you're going to do? Satan's tricky, though. He does it in such a way that it's hard to believe. Books, movies, TV, novels, false, bogus reports on the TV, cartoons, all through. And those of you that are very much into the study of conspiracy, and I don't like using the word theory because it's no theory, you see ways like the dollar bill and the like that. He's Illuminati, but he acquired fame by Jonathan Click. He is Illuminati, pretending to be Christian. He is absolutely not, like David Icke or Jordan Maxwell, the rest of them. They're all New Age, serious Illuminati members. He got his fame by being able to read the dollar bill and the $10 bill and the $5 bill and all this, and using that as a prop to get people's attention. And then he goes all out of whack for abomination of desolation, what that really means, which is not at all what he talks about. It's not the truth. The kingdom of heaven is like, kind of like an island out there in the universe, and even got a picture of it. I mean, it just goes off all kinds of wacky. But that's how they do it. You got to gain the attention, gain the confidence, and then you go all wacky out. They whack out every time. Wacky prophecy. The Bible defines itself. So if God requires his prophets to tell us what's going to happen, he requires the fallen angels and the Satan to tell us what they're going to do before they do it. They just do it in such a way it's hard for the average public to believe it. Always remember, though, that God never asks us to believe that he would do anything for us that he has not first promised to do. Because of this tremendous fact he's given us, Paul has reasonably stated, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing God's word and that of a promise. Romans 10:17. You know, how could faith possibly come any other way? You know, how are we, how am I to know that a millionaire would make me a present of $1,000 unless he had definitely said he would do so? You know, his ability being a millionaire would not prove his willingness to do so. Just because he said he would doesn't mean he would. I must have his promise to do so before I would expect such a gift. I got to hear the word promise. I promise, but nowadays even that won't. But the only possible way for someone you love, someone you care about, to know that they'll receive a new dress tomorrow, or say your daughter, or I don't know, you bought a present for your mother, so I don't know, whatever. The only possible way for that loved one to know that they'll receive that present is for you to promise it to them. A man's word is his bond, etc. But, you know, they believe that you'll not fail to keep your word. Yet there is a possibility that you may have been killed or detained in such a way that you had no other alternative. It made it impossible for you to provide that, fulfill that promise. Or you may have, heaven forbid, lied. But not so with the Lord. Balaam, a true prophet of the Lord, said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's in Numbers 23:19. Steadfast faith. How much faith do you have really in the Lord? How much faith did David have? Put on this armor. I don't need the armor. I'm going to fight it myself, Goliath. But I got these 5 stones here, and I got the slingshot. But look here, if it don't work, can you send about 50 of your strongest men and use arrows? David didn't do that. He went on out there, took out the five stones, and he faced Goliath down. The Goliath was a Nephilim. Hybrid of the fallen angels, by the way. Oh, yeah. Men of renown. Faith itself, I haven't even begin to talk about faith. That in itself is an hour long. Plus. Because faith is what gives your prayers the power they need. True faith. And your obedience. Now, I've talked about prayer and the 10 reasons why prayers aren't answered. That's another class, and it's in my archives there if you're interested. And always question everything I say. Always question it. Don't take what I say because I'm talking on the radio. It's gospel. No pun intended. But always check everything out. Today, this time period, deception is the rule. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. We're in Satan's complete control. However, on this earth in the material means. But God will not allow him certain latitudes. But the more we pull away from God, Satan gets more latitude. That's the problem. So let's say that, and I'm going to transition here in a second, as they're talking about, we got to bring back the Republic. We got to fight for our rights and all this and all that, patriotic stuff and no. And yet, you've got some that don't have the faith. They're going to fight with violence. God's not going to go with that. If they've not been obedient, God's not going to hear that prayer. Just because they pray it, no. It's got to be in His will be done. So what they got to do is they got to go back to the courts of 19 states. And they got to get those courts of 19 states to reverse a decision on homosexual marriage. That's a step in the right direction, you see. You know, I know, that's impossible. I know all things with God are possible, but we're heading toward Armageddon. We're heading toward the end times. I don't want to stop or try to delay the return of Jesus Christ by I pray for him to come, to get here. You see, I don't pray for the return of the United States to a republic and a constitution, all that kind of sort of thing. I pray for him to take over in Israel, Jerusalem, for Jesus to put his feet down on the Mount of Olives and come on down here and fix this. Because he's the only one that can do it. Mankind's not going to do it. Not possible. Delay it? Sure. Because it has been delayed. Since 1776 it's been delayed. Since Nimrod, it's been delayed. 70 AD, they say, is all completed. Oh, no. We talked about that the other day. So what holds us back? Man, it's those demonic realm. It's our disobedience, lack of faith. And you know where it comes from first? The doggone pulpit. The churches. Boy, oh boy. Cathedrals and the synagogues. We're supposed to be taught faith. And man, they're not doing it. And it's actually not mistaken. That's how they're doing it. That's designed that way. This life is physics, biology. Principles have been established by God that He won't change. 33 factors keeps us alive. The temperature, the water, the oxygen content, the gravity. 33 plus different things. One thing out of whack won't sustain life. The stars in heaven, the constellations out of whack will have some effect on the life here on earth. It's all connected together. So the soul's energy, if I wrote it down one time, it's like this. Your soul. And when I say soul, you know what pops in our head? That doggone, I went to college too. You know, I had like what, 12 years and 4 years of college and my master's degree and all this and all that and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? And all the schools are based on humanism in the United States. I didn't know this. They're based on keeping you down. Certain things are not taught to you on purpose. So when philosophy, and that's absolutely worth this course, you just go round circle, round circle, round circle. When I say the soul, you think, oh, the soul, oh, philosophy comes to your mind. My soul yearns for it. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the soul, your personality, your character, all that is electrical. How electrical? Well, let's see. Let's strip down a wire, stand in a puddle of water and plug it into a wall socket. There's your soul. It's electrical, man. It's got hertz, H, no pun intended. That's fun, and that's not funny. Okay. Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z. Hertz. It can be measured. And they're manipulating it with technology. Demons that demonize or possess come inside your body. They are like energy beings. What's energy? It's based on electrical impulses. Physics, chemistry, biology, and so forth. So your soul, the essence of you, is in your brain, in the pineal gland that occupies your, that's where your soul occupies, is the pineal gland in the middle of your brain. That's where the little forehead thing goes on. In your new age, they have the little forehead dots and all this and all that. And that's where your soul is. It's not in your big toe or your kneecap or your elbow or your nose. It's literally located, the home of your soul is the pineal gland. Do you understand? You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The use of fluoride in the water since 1900 AD in America, the use of fluoride that people don't know about, not only medicates, but medication, it does. Hitler used it in concentration camps to mass medicate, to test it out. But here's the other purpose that people don't know about, is the fluoride is intended to calcify the pineal gland. So there's no connection between your soul and God. The silver cord be broken is their plan. They don't know our God, though. They can calcify whatever they want, but God's going to open it up. But that's, yeah, look it up. That's one of the reasons for fluoride, to calcify your pineal gland. The soul is energy, family. And when you die, the energy leaves the body. Animals have soul. No pun intended. But they have soul. But yes, baby, they have soul. You know what I mean? They have soul. They don't have a spirit, though. We're created in the spirit of God, in His image, His spirit. The soul, your personality and character, separates you from all the other spirits. Your body, different faces and sex, male, female, whatever. Well, not whatever, but male and female. Now it's whatever. Separates you from all the other bodies. Okay, that being said, the human has a spirit that's connected to God, the silver cord. But animals, certain types of them, actually have soul. They call them soulish, S-O-U-L-I-S-H, animals. So your soul distinguishes you from all the other spirits. So the body on the physical plane distinguishes you from all the other bodies, all right? And there's three, your body, your soul, and your spirit. That's why down south, when you see one person and they're going to leave, you say, well, see y'all later. And a Yankee would say, what do you mean y'all? It's only me. What's he talking about? We're talking about the body, soul, and spirit, all three of you. One, two, three. Yep, that's plural. There's three of you. We say y'all to one person. That's why. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5, verse 7. Those three are one. Animals are body and soul. I do believe there's photographs and pictures that show the soul leaving the bodies of some animals and some people. The soul is energy, man. It's energy. It's not just some philosophical notion. It's energy. Two-dimensional animals, body and soul, but not spirit. Hence, there's Einstein's formula. Follow me here. I'm going to simplify this. Einstein's formula works. Energy equals mass, your body, the particles, the subatomic particles, etc., times the speed of light squared. Now, mass is your particles, your flesh, all right? Energy is the E, energy, and C squared is the speed of molecules on the physical plane. What does that mean? Well, what's the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second that we can, on this plane. But on the second heaven, there's three heavens. For it to change and go through a portal, that factor may be something two or three times that speed. I'm guessing here, but let's say a half a million miles per second. To where when it goes beyond 186,000, that object in front of you, when it increases the vibrational properties, will disappear right before your eyes. What happened? I don't know, man. It just disappeared. Oh, you see. They're still there, but they go to another plane because they're physical properties, the subatomic particles have increased in intensity. Why would it do that? Because the increase of energy. Why would it do that? Well, how about Enoch? Enoch was human. Son of man, not son of God. Enoch was taken. No flesh will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he was translated. See, translated. So his 186,000 miles per second vibrational properties, God, by his word, by his power, just changed, translated Enoch's body particles to where he could take him up. No longer flesh, but still a body, but a different glorified body translated. You see, he increased the particle vibration of his body. Took him up. Same thing with Elijah. See how it works? God can do that, you know. He created the universe. But what if the scientist and Satan teaches them how to manipulate the particle vibration by using electromagnetic frequencies, sound, etc.? That's what they're trying to do. But in any case, to get back through the second heaven and back and forth, that's how that works. And by fallen angels taking on a flesh body of copper DNA, they can manipulate their energy up to a certain point. But they can never go back through the water to heaven. For us to try that without being prepared, now you'll get an idea, your body would spontaneously combust because it's made out of carbon basis. You could not do it without preparing yourself or to be dwelled with a demonic entity to change your DNA. That's where this formula comes from. Energy equals mass times speed of light squared. Energy would be applied at a faster rate. C squared would change the mass. This is how they work it. This is the knowledge of good and evil that we don't need to know. If you mess around with it, you're going to die. If you mess around with it, you're going against God. We're to love God. We're to worship God and love each other. Not sit around here and play with fire. So as hyperbole as I use it, you apply energy on an ice cube. That's the body. More energy, heat, turns it to water. Second heaven. Water could also be your soul. So the ice cube is your body. More energy applied to it is water, could be your soul. Even more energy applied to it turns it to steam. That's the spirit, the third heaven. You see how it works? It's all in threes. Heaven is spirit. The third heaven exists, as told in Corinthians by Paul. See, the universe is made up of three heavens. Earth is the first heaven. The universe, where the fallen angels reside, and the planets, Jupiter and Mars, and there's no aliens out there. There's no ascended masters. These are fallen angels, man. God created the second heaven, the universe, when they rebelled, to place them there. Then he created Earth so you would replace them. You would replace Lucifer. Not Satan. Lucifer became Satan when they fell. Lucifer was the one who led the worship of the angels to God. He had a powerful position in heaven. The nine stones on his supernatural body would receive the vibrational praises of the nine orders of angels. Each stone had a different frequency. You understand? Amethyst and all the other crystals, you can find it in the Bible. Each order of angels, there's nine of them, would sing their praises to Lucifer, and Lucifer, somehow another supernatural body, had the nine stones on his body, would receive the praises of the different orders of angels. Each order of angel had a different frequency, vibration, or different ranking structure, you see? So he would go in, the only one allowed was Lucifer, very powerful position. He would go into the throne room of God, like the temple in heaven, ever how that worked, and then he would open up and let the nine stones praise God at the same time. When he fell because of pride, God chose you to take his place. Now you see why he's really ticked off. This is the big picture. This is not the small picture. This is a big one. So the universe is made up of three heavens. Now, family, do this research on your own. You can find it. I've put this together and a lot of research, and I've just given you the summary of it. So the first heaven, third heaven, are in the King James Bible. It all works. So to be translated, one's DNA must be changed to cross over. And God does that changing. It's called the rapture. Didn't have to do it with that young girl. Didn't have to do it with Lazarus. They died twice. But Enoch didn't die at all. Elijah didn't die either. They were brought up alive. That's a sort of a rapture. Lazarus and that little girl and others raised from the dead to live again. They would die again. Jesus, the only one in history to ever ascend. Ascend means to go up on his own power. Notice there's a difference in word. It doesn't say in the Bible that Enoch ascended, does it? Nope. It says Enoch was taken. So they give the New Age name Ascended Masters to make it seem like they also could ascend. They didn't. And they were ascended. And they got cast out, man. They got kicked out. Sent to the second heaven to live on these desolate planets as orbs. They're not liking that too much. They want to go to Earth. This is a big picture. So in order to get to heaven, it's a major change of body structure. And at death, it's all spiritual. Long, long story. Complex, made simple. God created these principles. Satan has tried to manipulate them by technology and science and numbers and formulas to get back into heaven to create his own universe. He will never master these principles. He failed at the Tower of Babel. He will fail now. Every time he gets close, all God got to do is change the frequency vibration of the universe just a little bit, and all their planning just is scrapped. That's why they got to keep upgrading. See, that's the reason for the upgrades of technology, electronics, because God keeps them always guessing. He never lets them rest, and they'll never achieve that goal, ever. It's impossible. That's the thing going on today. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think tomorrow I'm going to dedicate Jude for tomorrow. I talked about Revelation 16 last night. Let's go into Revelation 6:17 tonight. And tomorrow night, I really want to cover Jude. That's really important. It's about apostates and what the churches are doing today. And talks, it's very important, the book of Jude. We'll cover the whole book of Jude tomorrow night. Here we go. Revelation 17. Let's see how this works.
I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image.
Hold on.
The second angel poured... Chapter 17.
There we go. Sorry.
"And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Chapter 18.
Okay. Woohoo, I can bite this one off. Oh, hang in there. Here we go. Here's what I better can give you about this. It's very complicated. We'll see how far we get. I might go over a little bit. We'll see how far we get. Now, this is the fall of Babylon the Great, and it is not the United States. We are not Babylon. That's almost the silliest notion I've ever heard in my life. One of the seven angels here invites John to witness the judgment of this great harlot, according to the scriptures. And what this is a kind of a religious commercial system that's thought of by many theologians to be headquartered in Rome. So many believe that this chapter 17, very cryptic and symbolic, will describe religious Babylon, and chapter 18 is the commercial aspect of it. So 17 is a religious Babylon, and chapter 18 is a commercial aspect of Babylon. So religious Babylon, we're talking about tonight, includes apostate Christendom, Christianity, which is what Jude 1 talks about. Both Protestant and Catholic. The apostate that now a lot of you are seeing happen right now as we speak. That's why I said Christianity is the most dangerous religion on the face of this planet. You thought Islam was, right? You know Islam is not of God. You know Hinduism, Buddhism, Mithraism, oh, all kinds of them. But Christianity, people think they are with God, but the preachers are not preaching repentance. So they think they're saved and they're not. That's dangerous. Depart from me, I never knew ye, ye that work in iniquity. He's talking to Christians. I mean, this is serious. You know, this could also may well represent the ecumenical church. Now, if you notice, I had to practice that word, man, I tell you. Us southern folk, we have a hard time with these vowels and silent letters and all this kind of thing. Drives me crazy. But I'm getting around with it. You know, the harlot sets so many waters. What does that mean? Controls great areas of the Gentile world until the Gentile and the Gentiles will end. The times of the Gentiles brought the King James Bible. Jews failed. We'd all be speaking Hebrew today if they didn't. Instead, they went to Latin. Latin went to Greek. Greek went to English. English just happens to be a universal language. Matter of fact, when I worked for the OSCE in Europe, in Kosovo, also I was closely akin to the UN, you could not get a job, no matter what country you lived in, didn't matter where you came from, to work for the OSCE or UN, you had to have a working knowledge of English, or you would not get a job there. It's a universal language. When Jesus Christ comes back in the millennium, y'all going to be speaking Hebrew. You don't have to go to classes, let me tell you. Hebrew is God's language. Latin is Satan. English is the times of the Gentiles. And what's the times of the Gentiles? Scripture. King James Bible. What's it in? English. God will always fulfill his plan. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Well, she seduced the political leaders with her compromise and intrigue. So the inhabitants of the earth have, as the scripture says, become drunk with the wine of her fornication. So vast numbers have come under her evil influence and have been reduced by staggering wretchedness in the Vatican. A whole line of world religions all lined up. It's all happening now. That's what Beck was for back in the day, back a couple of years ago. In Washington, bringing all the religions together. The Pope to bring all religions together before they crash them to go to Luciferianism and New Age. See, the apostate church is seen as sitting on a scarlet beast. That's the apostate church, not the United States. Oh, goodness gracious. The apostate church is sitting on a scarlet beast. The apostate church, Great Babylon. You know, if you go to chapter 13 of the Revelation, that the beast is a revived Holy Roman Empire. The beast is full of blasphemous names and has seven heads and ten horns. Well, here we go. You know, a while the false church seems to dominate this empire. She sets up into a kind of a full celestial state of some kind. She wears the symbols of the wealth and displays a golden cup full, as the scripture says, of her idolatry and immorality. Oh, we see that increasing every day, don't we? When you go to 17:5, if you read the scripture there, the name of mystery is on her forehead, and Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What that is a church that's shed the blood of Christian martyrs. Is that not what's going on today? It is increasing. Nothing like it's going to, but there is just touching upon it now. It's been going on through down the centuries. Still doing it. She's drunk with her blood. Family. 50 to 68 million people were massacred from 1200 to 1800 A.D. by the Roman Catholic Church. In 1 week, St. Bartholomew Massacre, 70,000 to 100,000 French Huguenots were slaughtered in France in the 16th century by the Vatican. And even in 1941, 1943, 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies were all slaughtered at Camp Jasanovic in Croatia by the Ustasha Roman Catholic troops. The German SS were horrified at the cruelty. Family. Bingo. But is that the time of the end? No. You haven't seen nothing yet when this thing goes down. That's just getting warmed up. Now, like many others, John here marvels that when he saw the woman, she was intoxicated with the blood of the saints. And what this refers to is the saints of all eras of church history. But it's especially linked into the martyrs of Jesus during the tribulation. Those that are going to claim Jesus Christ, despite the fake Jesus, Anand Emmanuel, Yeshua, that says he's an alien. I'm an alien. I'm an ascended master. No, you're not. You're a liar. You're a fallen angel, and you're not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, when you start declaring this, it's going to get ugly. This is where faith comes in. When you go to 17, verses 7 and 8, the angel here offers to explain to John the mystery of the woman and the beast. See, the Bible defines itself. You know, the beast saw John. The beast that John actually saw was the Roman Empire that existed in the past, the old Roman Empire. It is not... means it broke up and no longer exists. It went away as a world empire today. It disappeared. It will ascend out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 17, 7 and 8. It will reappear in a very diabolical form. We see that happening today. And then it will go to perdition. In other words, it will be finally, utterly, and finally destroyed, Armageddon. See, the revival of the empire and the appearance of this charismatic leader, the Antichrist, will cause the world of unbelievers and lukewarm Christians to marvel. That's where you come in. When's the rapture? Nobody knows. Next question. Everybody argues about it. I'm post-trib. You are. Get over there. I'm pre-trib. No, get over there. I'm mid-trib. Okay, get over there. I don't believe in the tribulation. Okay, get back over there. So you got everybody in a different... What difference does it make? Because nobody knows in the first place. I mean, get over this rapture nonsense. If you get with Jesus Christ, it don't matter. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, whatever. It supports a mid-trib or pre-trib rapture, but nobody knows. So why take a position? The only position you got to take is take Jesus as Savior. That's one you better have, no matter what tribulation rapture it is. You ain't going anyway if you're not taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I've taken Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay, then why worry about it? Mm-hmm. In 17:9, the angel here, let's see, yeah, says that this calls for a mind with wisdom. That's why you pray for wisdom and discernment. The seven heads, it tells you, man, are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, if you go a traditional interpretation from theologians on this one, is that the harlot has her headquarters in Rome. It's built on the seven hills. That's a traditional interpretation of that. And 17:10, you have some commentators, not to be confused with Irish potato, but some commentators explain that these seven kings are seven forms of Roman government. And others, as I found, explain them to be seven literal emperors. Well, others say that the kings represent great world powers, and that would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, in this order, Persia later, then Greece, and finally Rome. And the future would be the revived Holy Roman Empire. Yet to come about. And it's not America, for goodness sakes alive. Get over it. In 1711, not the year, but the scripture, Revelation 1711, the eighth king is kind of identified as the head of the revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist. So the exact meaning of this prophecy may never really be perfectly clear until it's fulfilled. That's how a lot of the revelation is. So no one can go around like a banty rooster and say, I'm a prophet, I can tell you what it's going to be. It's written in such a way that unless you study it and you depend on wisdom discernment coming from the Holy Spirit, you're not going to come up with the right answer. You're going to know when it happens. But nobody can walk around, like I said, a banty rooster and say, I'm a prophet of God now, today, and here's what's going to happen. And by the way, buy my CDs and my book, and I'm going to go on Sid Roth, it's supernatural. Here we go. And I'm going to be on there. No, it don't work that way. No, sir, it don't. Nope. In Revelation 17:12, the ten horns may also symbolize the future kings who will serve under the Roman beast. We know today that the United States has been divided into 10 regions. Well, that's just to cooperate with the 10 regions in the world, based on 10. But the 10 regions of the world has already been chosen. They already got it, 10 regions in the world. That goes back to 1943. It's been manipulated several times, but the 10 regions are already decided. They already got it. The North American Union is only one. African Union, Scandinavian Union, the Occident, European Union. You see what's going on here? There's 10 of them. Surprise, surprise. They'll rule for 1 hour. That means a short time. That's what that refers to. So the 10 kings, overall, will be unanimous, and they'll yield their power and authority to the Roman beast, the Antichrist. So I guess, speaking in other words, 10 countries or governments will surrender their national sovereignty to this Antichrist. So the 10 kingdom empire goes to war against the Lord Jesus when he returns to earth. So you're going to have other folks, other governments, rebellious ones, going against the Antichrist, will be fighting each other in this campaign called Armageddon. And then will Jesus Christ come in the clouds, and they'll find out they have a common enemy, and that's Jesus. They'll band together, and that'll be their undoing. At this time, the 10 kingdom empire, with what's left, will go to war against the Lord Jesus when he returns to earth at the end of the tribulation, which is called Armageddon. They'll meet their Waterloo in this battle. He is the Lamb. He is also the Lord of lords and King of kings. His followers are called chosen and faithful, and they'll be coming with him. Oh, they will. Oh, that means there's a rapture. Huh. Now, in 1715, and we're on the home stretch here, family, right on target just about, the angel goes on to explain in 1715, in the Revelation 17, verse 15, that the waters in verse 1 are people. It tells you what it is. Harlot sits on many waters. Well, it tells you what are the waters. Well, verse 1 is people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The harlot sits on the waters in the sense that she dominates a large segment of the population. So it appears that this revived Holy Roman Empire allows itself to be controlled. A little side note. Watch Turkey. Watch Turkey. The revived Holy Roman Empire will be controlled and influenced by the harlot church for a little while. Then, however, it throws off this intolerable yoke it has and destroys her. The hated harlot is stripped, consumed, and burned by the beast on which she set. I happen to know that the Illuminati is going to destroy the Roman Catholic Church by the Vatican itself, is going to destroy the Roman Catholic Church and bring on the New Age movement. And David Spangler has quoted this saying that when you enter, they'll say allegiance to Lucifer. That's when you take the mark of the beast. And do not take the mark of the beast. John MacArthur, an alleged theologian, says it's okay to take the mark of the beast. Well, no, John MacArthur, you're a liar. You're a heretic, and you're lying to people. It's not right. That's what they're doing right now, all of them, almost all of them. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about the apostate church in Jude, because I think that's appropriate. It follows up with this. Family, I can't judge anybody. I'm the last person in the world to judge moral behavior from my past. But you doggone sure can judge what they say as according to Scripture. You better believe you can. God, all along, when you look at chapter 17, verse 17, he's behind the scenes in everything. They think they've got it licked. It's he who causes the kingdoms to unite under the Roman beast and then to turn against the harlot. It's all to fulfill his sovereign purpose. He causes. See, we were supposed to be in a new world order in 1943. Adolf Hitler, Churchill, FDR, were working together. FDR was supposed to bring us to a new world order in the United States, a dictatorship. At the same time, Hitler was going to cross the Atlantic and bring his forces into America under America's under a dictatorship. And Yamamoto, in the sixth phase, was supposed to take Pearl Harbor and the California at the same time. They had this all planned out. And in 1943, there's a map of the United of the world in 10 regions. 1943. It didn't happen. You know why? Because Revelation 17:17 says that God was behind the scenes in all this. Is he who causes the kingdoms to unite under the Roman beast, then to turn against the harlot. It's all to fulfill his sovereign purpose. What he did was he turned Hitler over to his power lust. He stopped Yamamoto from the third and fourth and fifth wave against Pearl Harbor. He changed the conditions of Nixon and Cushman when they get ready to declare martial law in America. He stopped FDR. The war, World War I, the war to end all wars. Well, it wasn't, was it? They were planning a dictatorship then. No, it didn't happen. World War II, no, it didn't happen. You see, God's behind the scenes the whole time. And greater is he in you than in the rest of the world. You see what's going on? Last but not least, 17 verse 18, that great city is Mystery Babylon, ruling over the kings of the earth. But as we've seen, the woman has her headquarters in Rome. Now, chapter 18 will primarily is a funeral song. It's celebrating the fall of Babylon. And what they're going to try to tell you when America goes down economically, what they're going to try to tell you is that Babylon has fallen. The Antichrist, Obama, has been destroyed or whatever they're going to do there. And the Pope's going to do his thing and false prophet. That's a lie. We're not Babylon. What does this do? Brings on the one called Sanan de Emmanuel, the fake Jesus, in the fake World War III. And what they'll do is set up the first seal. This lie is coming. That's what ISIS is all about. Satanic ritual called ISIS. Family, that ritual pouring water on you and all that, that goes back a couple thousand years. It's satanic ritual. That's what Satanists do for initiation. Besides drink blood, literally. Is that pouring ice? All those people that's done that ice thing, like to do in football games. It's a satanic ritual. Madonna, halftime, Super Bowl, as a satanic ritual. MTA Music Awards in 2009. Jack Black, show me those horns, show me those horns, to about 2,000 or 3,000 movie stars in the MTVA awards. Family, it's all ritual. Miss America pageant. A ritual of lust. Oh, I hate saying this, all this traditional stuff, but it's all true. Because Satan is prince of this world, but is not God and is not king. Everything is involved in this. Everything I've discovered. Everything. I can't find anything that's not. I've tried. Everything. You're not of this world. Heaven is your home. Right now, you're in enemy territory. Every holiday is pagan, literally. That's why we have to love each other, care about each other, witness to others about the love of Jesus. I don't pray for the return of America and all this stuff. We got to bring the Republic back. Bring out the red, white, and blue and all this. Well, God has nothing to do with red, white, and blue. Or the Union Jack or whatever. Nothing to do with it. That was designed to keep us all divided. And we're supposed to be divided, actually, until God brings us together through Jesus Christ. Satan's trying to bring us all together now. So as he calls the wars, fighting, so now we want to stop the wars. Oh, finally, good. All right, so come together under my control is the new world order. Order out of chaos. Now, tomorrow, you know, 1 hour is just not enough. Tomorrow, we'll cover chapter 18, and I want to talk about Jude. And I'll cover at least Jude chapter 1 to 6, at least. It's lengthy. It's very important because it talks about the apostate church, which is what I just finished talking about here. And very importantly, a prelude, very importantly in Jude, that family to know that Jude 3, very important. That the faith, which was once all delivered to the saints, the body, the doctrine, at the end of the Bible in Jude, is complete. The canon, C-O-N-O-N, is finished. It's complete. Nothing more can be added to the Bible. That's where you get Revelation 22, 18, and 19. So if it's new, it's not true, family. And we found a book in the bottom of the Vatican. It's in an old, dusty corner. In Israel, we were digging and we found a pyramid and something, and then out fell this golden book or something. I don't care what it is. Well, a scholar from Jewish, his 50 years, he'd been in the scholar, and he's interpreted this, and here's what it really says. Oh, baloney. That's what you're going to start hearing. A lot of junk. The Harbinger, Jonathan Cohen, all this nonsense. Found the King James Bible is all going to happen. That's right there. It's all written for you. If it's not new, it's not. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. You know, when some teacher claims to have a revelation which is above and beyond, which is found in the Bible, you can just go ahead and reject it. It's out of hand. The faith has been delivered, and we neither need nor heed anything else. This is the answer to the leaders of the false cults, churches, and their books that claim equal authority with the Scripture. Because there is none. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the subversive efforts and the apostate church and Revelation 18. I went over just like I thought I would. But I wanted to get through Revelation 17. I couldn't stop on it. It would not have been the thing to do. It's complicated, and I'm tired. It makes me tired, man. To try to simplify this stuff, man, is something else. Anyway, I appreciate y'all coming by. We had a kind of a large group tonight, and I appreciate y'all visiting. So tomorrow should be action-packed. Because this is what's going on, that America's Babylon. Well, no, America's not Babylon, not according to the Bible. Now, if they want to make it up, then go on ahead. But Jude says no, it's already been done. And the Bible defines itself perfectly. When you have the Holy Spirit guiding you, it tells you what's there. Here we go. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us to Bible study. Father, we thank you for these end time studies Lord, you can guide us through. Lord, to touch us as we go about our separate ways. Touch our hearts, our souls, our wisdom. Lord, to bring it out, the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who's now returning in the time, for, Father, thy will be done, that he returns, that, Father, we're ready and held accountable, that, Father, that we can help, that we're here to be your servants, to deny self and to spread the gospel. Father, we pray for each other, safe return. We pray each other for our families and those in the past we've prayed for, Lord, you for the healing and bringing families together. And Lord, guide us tomorrow and the rest of this week as we study. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, family, I think I better let you go here before you all get all mad at me for going over a little bit. Of course, before we did go an hour and a half. I'll let you all know that we're played up at HighPortRadio.net. I always want to put a plug in there. For John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, HighPortRadio.net. And ever check every now and then. You can hear me broadcasting up there. He does it randomly. He does my MP3 archives. He'll play them up there on his show. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. HighPortRadio.net. My website, WatchmanForJesus.com. Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. There you go. And, okay. So, we're going to go ahead and go. And, a parting word here. In Christ alone is where your hope is found. No one else. So you'll have a great night. Good night. God bless y'all. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off again tonight. See y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Have a great night.
And burn.